loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. May we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. So it's here. There's no denying it any longer. We know it's here because we had an incredible Jubilee Christmas dinner last night, and so now we know Christmas is upon us. Last night, as I was heading home on the 401, a car came up behind me, like right on my bumper, just right there, flashing his lights at me insistently, because he was obviously very, very, very important. I'm already going well over the speed limit, we all are, but he wants to go even more so, and so I move aside so that he can zip past me and then cut over me to the exit that I was going to anyway. And yes, we ended up beside each other at the red light as we waited. For all of his rude rushing, there we were, side by side. I recognized the driver, not personally, but his type. Jesus. We hate to wait. We're in a hurry. I rolled down my window and I shared some of the words of Isaiah with him. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised over the hills, and all nations shall stream to it. Or something like that. Very close. There may have been gestures involved, I don't know, but you know, you get the idea. Wouldn't that be great? The Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and nations will stream to it. I mean, obviously, we're speaking metaphorically. We don't expect a building to drop out of the sky, do we? We're awaiting, rather, a time when God's love will reign, when peace shall come, and justice shall be the norm, and traffic will be better. So when? When? In the days to come, we are told. When already, as I flash my lights at the prophet Isaiah? Hurry up, I need to know. When? I am important. I get frustrated when my microwave takes more than 2 minutes to heat up a dinner that I didn't have 20 minutes to make myself, you know? So, like, I'm in a hurry. This is ridiculous. Tell me now. Hate waiting. The tree at our house is not up yet, but I already have a gift. It's mine. Has my name on it. I shouldn't, but I really, really want to open it. Okay. I'll stay over here. I pop into my local coffee shop from time to time, and when I do, there's a host of regulars, and I usually see Mary there. Mary, it really is her name. Mary is waiting for her baby, and she's been waiting for almost 8 months now, so pretty soon. And she tells me that she is done waiting, and her baby already has a name. And you guessed it, Jennifer. Mark is there a lot. I see Mark a lot. He's waiting for a job. He's waiting for a good job, one that pays a living wage and has a future. He's been waiting a long time. And Jackie's there too. She's waiting for someone to buy one of the screenplays that she's always writing. She sits there, she types away, she writes these screenplays. I'll bet they're wonderful. She's waiting. The gospel told us today that the second coming of Jesus will be like a thief breaking into the house. And perhaps that's what Mark is waiting for, because he seems to spend a lot of time in the coffee shop and not a whole lot of time out looking for jobs. So maybe it's going to break in on him. I don't know. Or I might just be old about how jobs happen. I don't know. That's probably what Jackie's waiting for too. Something spectacular and wonderful that's going to change everything. Someone buying your first screenplay, a good job, a healthy baby, the second coming of Jesus. It's always the focus of the first Sunday in Advent, awaiting not only Christmas, but the second coming of Jesus. The parousia, a lovely old Greek word for arrival or presence. And at this time of year, we read Isaiah and we hear that from out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. Oh, and those words give such hope. And along comes Matthew's gospel. Two will be in the field, and one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, the other will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand, if the owner of the house had known what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, would not let a house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And now we're a little bit more than afraid when we hear those words. I mean, yeah, gonna break in? I look around at my coffee shop buddies, and I know what they're waiting for. My question for you, my question for us all, in light of Isaiah's words and the dark warnings of Matthew, what are we waiting for? Regardless of whether we're waiting in joyous expectation or nervous fear, what is it that we're waiting for? This present is killing me. I could unwrap a little bit of it and probably put it back together. No one would ever have... Okay, let's be honest with each other, okay? Isaiah's promise was made over 2,500 years ago. Long time ago. When my wife was a little girl, there was a man who sold candy from a cart. And he would be on her street every Thursday afternoon. And little Ann, East City, Peterborough, would go up to him and ask for a certain candy. And he would always tell her that he didn't have it, but if she paid him now, he would have it next week. Money today, candy tomorrow, he'd say. And little Ann would hand over her nickel. And the next week he would be back, and Ann would rush up to get her pre-ordered, prepaid-for candy, only to discover that the vendor had no memory of the promise or the transaction. But if she wanted to pay him now, money today, candy tomorrow, didn't take very long for little Ann to wise up. But what about us? How long are we going to wait for this house of the Lord to descend from the heavens and bring justice? Factually or metaphorically, how long are we going to wait? How long are we going to wait for this word of the Lord to arbitrate between the peoples? How long are we going to wait for Christ to come from on high, snatching us from the fields and mending all that is broken? It's like sitting around looking at a microwave going, come on, how long is this going to take? When? Many of us seem to be waiting for a time of fairness and justice, as if it will be thrust upon us or find us lying on our beds like that magic job that's going to find my friend Mark. I think we may have made a mistake. The prophet Isaiah was talking to the people of Judah, and they had been in exile for a generation, and they were now going home to Jerusalem to rebuild the city that had been destroyed. They were going to begin rebuilding the temple, the house of the Lord, that had been pulled down by the invaders. They weren't sitting and waiting. They were themselves partners into bringing it into being. See where I'm going with this? This was not some building that was going to drop from the sky. They were going to build it from the ground up with their hands. Listen to the words of the text. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills, and all nations shall stream to it. We have building to do. There is work for us to do. Yes, the kingdom is at hand, but it's our hands. And if we keep them in our pockets, then the kingdom is not about to appear anytime soon. just a little bit. I mean, just, you know, like, who's going to really, you're not going to tell anybody. I'm not, okay. I've kind of wrecked it now. Oh, never mind. Okay, so what if the temple's not going to drop out of the sky? What if the second coming of Christ is not something that happens from the sky, like that lovely freezing rain we hear up there? What if he doesn't just float down on a cloud and smite the bad guys while he pats us on our head for the great patience that we've shown? What if that second coming is the coming of Christ into our lives, into our minds, into our hands, into our actions? What if parousia, just to have a little Greek lesson now, actually means more presence than it does arrival? Not waiting for something to happen, but becoming aware of what is already present and available right here. All this time we've been looking out the windows. We should have been looking into our hearts. Yes, the second coming is imminent, but it's not the arrival of Jesus at the airport. It's the birth of Jesus in our hearts. And guess what? If we keep them closed, there's no second coming. So many of us talk about the second coming of Jesus, and we talk about it, some of us with suspicion, like we don't really believe it. It doesn't make sense to us. Others talk about it like it is inevitable, and we should be preparing ourselves, because the teacher is coming, and if the homework isn't done, we are not going to pass this class. Still, others talk about it like they can't wait for it. Finally, the bad guys are going to get it. We all have our own fairly broad definition of bad guys. And the good guys are going to be rewarded. And we have our fairly narrow definition of the good guys. But what if the second coming isn't a world event at all? What if it's a personal event? I'm just wondering, how different might we be if all the talk of the second coming of Jesus was really a personal reminder, a personal challenge? Yeah, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Has he been born in you? Yes, Emmanuel is God with us, and God is with us in Jesus. But have we embraced the God within? The divine that's part of our life and all around us? Let me tell you, that's the one that's going to change your life. That's the one that's going to surprise you. I overheard some church folk. I know they were church folk because of the way they were dressed and the fact that they had church bulletins in their hands. They're not from here. And they were putting together some baskets for families less fortunate at Christmas. And they wrapped some presents and some essentials beautifully, and they were commenting, well, you know, I don't mind doing this. But really, if he could just work harder at getting a job, then we wouldn't have to do this. And that's the problem these days. Everyone's looking for a handout. No one wants to work like we used to. And it hurts so much because I recognize those words. I've said words like that. I've thought things like that from time to time. Callous thoughts. The kind of words that usually show up on Twitter, not in polite conversation. Feelings that suggest that although I am clearly aware of the first coming of Jesus, I am apparently untouched by the second coming. The one that happens within. The one that makes you aware of the humanity all around you. The one that opens your eyes and your heart to the world around you. Not in judgment, but in love. And I don't think that I'm alone. From time to time, I think we're waiting for the second coming to sort of happen from above. Waiting it for it to descend. But it doesn't just come out of nowhere. We actually need to open our minds and our hearts and allow that divine spark within us to grow. And we need to recognize that spark in each other and in the stranger and in the one that we would like to judge, but instead we just, oh, look, there it is. There's the second coming. We need to make the effort because the second coming will be a birth too. But we will be the ones giving birth. And you can't give birth passively. If you'd like, I can mansplain birth to all the women here, but I think you probably know what I'm talking about. You can't build the kingdom of God from your couch or your judgment seat. I don't care. I really can't wait. I've already wrecked this whole thing. Just... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now that you know what you're waiting for, maybe it's time to stop waiting. There's work to be done. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, although this is a time of waiting, let us not wait too long. We may not open our presents until the 25th, but let us open our hearts now, our minds, our eyes, our ears, our imagination. Let us recognize your presence. The first, the second, the third, the fifth, the 12th coming of Jesus. As each time we become aware of your presence, of your light in our darkness, and our ability to share that same light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.